Deuteronomy chapter 30. If you're using the new app there, the note should be available to you to follow along. Deuteronomy chapter number 30. Deuteronomy chapter number 30. I want to help us. Deuteronomy chapter number 30. Deuteronomy chapter number 30. I may not have changed the verse back there, guys. I was playing with the app background there. Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse number 19. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. We're going to look at a lot of scripture today, but we're going to start with this one here and help us set the stage. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. Stand with us if you're willing and able. We pay honor to God and His Word. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. Thank you, guys. I call heaven and earth to record this day, to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing, therefore choose life. That both you and your seed, that is your children, may live. Choose life. And I want to take that theme, and here he's specifically talking about not the issue, but he's instead talking about the fact of judgment here. And I want to encourage you, choose life and not judgment. Choose life and not judgment. And I want to help us to choose that life this morning. Would you pray one more time? God of heaven, help me. May I passionately, but pastorally, talk about this subject. May I help as we see how the Bible intersects 2019. May I ask you to help me to preach your word with power and authority. Lord, there are young people here statistically who do not believe what I'm about to say. There are 20-something-year-olds who don't believe what I'm about to say. Father, we have been poisoned by media and we've been corrupted by worldviews that are not biblical. And so I pray, even as we swim upstream on this, I pray that we would be very, very faithful to the Bible. So I pray that you'd help me, Lord. Make no apology, but be gentle. And I pray that you'd guard my mouth. Help me to say exactly what you'd have me to say. Holy Spirit of God, use me, I pray, right now. And I ask it in your Son's name. And amen. Amen. You can be seated. Be seated. Choose life. I choose life. I have a great memories of a family doctor. Family doctor. Dr. Jones. I remember three things about him. It was about three or four blocks from our house, and he was a family doctor. He served the community so well. When a place came in and bought him out and built a new building, all that, they actually named it after him. They named it after him, even though he wasn't an owner or anything like that, and just as an honorarium. But he was a funny guy. He was a funny guy. He weighed, give or take, 320, 330 pounds. But he still wore a size 32 pants. Think about that one for a second. As he would gain weight, he'd just pull his pants up higher. When I saw him as a young person, he had his pants right under his armpit. He kept the same waist all through adulthood, even though he'd gained significant weight. So he looked kind of silly. He did, but he was a great doctor. You can laugh. It's a pretty funny thought in my head still today. They would tease him about it and all. He was a fan. He for a while there made some house calls. He took care of our family, and he would do those kind of things. He was a neat guy, but he said repeatedly, especially as my brother and I got older, my mom would come in and collect us and would take care of the bill and all. And as the things were transitioning in the 70s and 80s to more insurance, he said it one time. He said it 100 times in our presence. He said the government and insurance need to stay out of the health care field, out of doctors. He said they're going to ruin it. Dr. Jones didn't leave to see his prediction come true, because if you fooled around with health care, you realize if it didn't government restrictions and insurance restrictions, and boy, it's a lot different than it was in the 70s and early 80s. Nod your head if you're old enough to remember that. When we talk about these kind of things, we see that, man, that was a bad influence, the intermingling of something. Well, let me help you here. Subject I want to talk about today, life, the sanctity of life, the evils of abortion, is suffered the same fate. It is, at the very least, a moral issue. It is an ethical issue. It is an emotional issue. And again, pastorally, if that has touched your life, touched your family's life, I mean not to heap shame on you. I mean not to make you feel badly about the choices you made. I promise with all my heart I offer you hope and healing through the Word of God and the power of God and the forgiveness of Christ. And what I'm going to say may sting, and I hate it. I hate it more than you know, I promise. But it is an emotional issue for a lot of people. It's a go outside in 20-degree weather and picket and act like a crazy person down in D.C. yesterday. And be ugly. It's an emotional issue. It's a political issue. And here's where we go. It's a political issue, so we shouldn't talk about it. And let me help you. It's unfortunate that it's become a political issue, but way before that, this is a Bible issue and a moral issue. And so we just plow on ahead. Nod your head and say amen if you're with me here. I hate that it's gotten messed up that way, but it is what it is, and we're going to move along. There was a question that was posed recently. At a political symposium, and the question went like this, said, as last week, with conservative laws and lawmakers closer than ever to changing laws and judges' rulings that reflect pro-life or sanctity of life, are we more pro-life as a nation? That's the question. Are we more pro-life as a nation? And I think it's a fair question. Let me help you. I don't know that we are more pro-life, quote-unquote, as a nation. I think when you look at 30 and younger, I don't think we're anywhere closer to that. And when you look at older folks, they just say, that's politics. I don't want to get involved in it. And so I want to help us. A lady commented on the article, a poli-science person there. I want to say she was at Boston University. I'm not exactly sure now. But she commented and she said, I don't know why this is such a problem because we're all just animals. Why is this such a big deal? She further went after the vice president's wife, who was hammered because while she's teaching art at this Christian school where she's taught at before, in their code of conduct, the code of conduct says they expect their students, who are all 14, 15, and younger, because it only goes to junior high, they shouldn't be engaged in sexual activity. Now, but let me help you here. It's illegal. It's illegal. Look at me. It's illegal. In all 50 states, certain age for teenagers to be engaged in sexual activity. Nod your head if you're with me. With someone older than them, right? Older, a few years older than them. We have the law. But I don't think I need a code of conduct thing. It's a bad idea or a good idea for 12-year-olds to be engaged in sexual activity. Somebody nod your head with me. But that was controversial because she taught at a school that taught that. This same lady said, hey, this is just normal. These are just animals. We're all just animals. They ought to be able to do whatever they want, and we shouldn't have any codes and restrictions. I was stunned by how many people said, hey, you're right, sis. You're right. We're just all animals. Let me help you. Not only are we not all just animals, not only shouldn't do whatever we want, but the Bible says something to us in this area. And if it cuts against the grain, it cuts against the grain. And if it horks everybody off, it just got to hork everybody off because we're going to stand with the Bible lovingly and kindly, and we're going to do our best to help people and rescue those who are about to make bad decisions. But we want to choose life. Let me walk you through a couple of things here that I think will help you here. I think will help you a little bit. 45 years ago. 45 years ago, Supreme Court changed the laws of the land by judicial fiat, and we're estimating now somewhere around 59 million innocent people have gone out into eternity. 59 million. We write that number there, but it defies description, doesn't it? We don't think that way. That's more than World War I, World War II, the Korean conflict. It's more than was exterminated in the Soviet takeover, the communist takeover of the Soviet Union. This is more than all those put together. This is more than. We've done that here just in a few years. Look right at me. We've done that here in just a few years. So we're talking about an absolute atrocity. This means about every 24 seconds, last 46 years, somebody has legally taken the life of a child. Somebody's legally taken the life of a child. I'm terribly uncomfortable when you talk about this. I'm terribly uncomfortable talking about it, I think, because we ought to have taken care of this by now. We ought to have made it rare. We ought to have helped it out. We ought to have educated a little bit better. And our problem is, in my estimation, is that we're looking at this, instead of looking at this as a biblical issue, we just look at it like a political issue. It's unfortunate it's a political issue, but it is absolutely a biblical issue. And the Church of Jesus Christ must stand and choose life. We must do this. And we must speak when we see evil about and abounding. I'm reminded, and there are many books that have been written on the subject that contrast the church being quiet when Hitler took over in Germany, and they said nothing. They said nothing about what was going on. And here we have our own modern version of a Holocaust, and we say so very little. And I want to help us. I want to encourage us, and I want to build, if you would, a case for life. Case for life, number one. Number one, if you're taking notes this morning, I want you to understand God loves humanity. God loves humanity. God loves people. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. We used to sing that all the time. We're a little scared of those words now for some reason. But God loves humanity. God loves people. God loves straight people. God loves gay people. God loves people that have been married once, married twice, married three or four times. God loves people that are single. God loves people that are drug users. God loves people that got it all figured out. God loves people that go to church, doesn't go to church. God loves humanity. God loves humanity. Somebody say amen to that. God loves humanity. When we talk about this, I think sometimes people get angry and get upset and they get rolling and all these kind of things. And let me just remind you, God loves humanity. Psalm 139, verse 14, I will praise you for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that knowest right well. Thou knowest it right well. Look at me. God specially created you. God specially designed you. God loves you. God loves you. God in eternity past knew you and knew what you to be like. He knew that you'd have ears that connect or don't connect. He knew you'd have a big schnoz or a small one. He knew you'd have blue eyes or green eyes or gray eyes, or that you'd want contacts and change the color of them. He knew that some of your hair would turn gray and turn white, and some of it would turn loose. Somebody say amen. And he knew, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. God said that He loves you. The most famous verse in the English world, John 3:16, for God so loved humanity, He gave His only begotten, one of a kind Son, that whosoever believe in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God loves humanity. God loves humanity. The mother of the modern abortion movement in the United States, excuse me, who, by the way, historically has a direct connection to what happened in North Carolina in the 50s, where they went and they actually made women where they could not bear children. They sterilized them. They forced sterilization upon them. They buried it. They brought it back up in the late 90s and turn of the century, and they have sought after family members connected to them, and they have offered them millions in reparations because they were just simply following the advice of the eugenics that black people should not reproduce because they are simply animals consuming things. That is the mother, by the way, of the modern abortion movement, and that was her view of people of a different color. Now, let me help you here. That's not loving at all. That's not loving. That's absolutely positively wicked. Somebody say amen to that. The Bible says that God loves people. God loves people. God loves humanity. If we're not real careful, here's what we do. We go, God loves this one and God loves that one. I believe God loves the elderly. God loves the infirm. He loves the unborn, the rich, the poor, the sinner, the saved, the educated, the white, the black, the LGBTQ. I had to look that up to get that right. And because that's a lot of letters for my little tongue there. The heterosexual, the heteronormative, the cisgender. And again, there's about 42, if I start going down there, about 42 different ways to describe. God loves them. God loves them. We've got acquaintances who had children, twins, at 26 weeks. They've been in neonatal intensive care for 4 weeks now, still progressing little by little, moment by moment. And as they look, as they hold them in their hand, and all the effort and the requirement is just there. And if you look, you say, they don't deserve the expense and all those kind of things. No. They are loved, and those parents will do whatever it takes to make sure that they have life. Let me help you. I've got a heavenly Father who has made sure whatever it takes for you not only have physical life, but spiritual life. He sent His Son to die for you. And when we look at this issue, we start right here. God loves humanity. God loves people. God loves people. Secondly, God values humanity. God values humanity. Anybody here ever said the following statement? That is a sorry somebody. Sorry individual, sorry woman, sorry man, sorry person. Anybody besides me? I said it about six times last week. I'm going to raise my hand. That is sorry. That is sorry. Can't believe that. Can't believe that. I usually say that about a chore done around the house. That is sorry, John. Sorry. Can't believe that. Can't believe that. What do you mean you took the trash out and didn't put the bag back? I'm sorry. I got to excise that from my. Am I the only one in here who puts judgments like that on people and things when they do a bad job? Some of you are like, I ain't raising my hand because you're talking about a controversy. I ain't doing that. But yeah, we're there. We're there. And every now and then I do something. I go, man, that was a sorry job, Rod. You need to do a little better with that. You need to do a little better. Anybody besides me ever thought about that yourself? You did a sorry thing? If we're not real careful, we put worth based upon what people do and what people bring to the table. How people love us and they're nice to us or kind to us or not nice or not kind to us. We're not real careful. I suggest to you that God values humanity, and I want you to put a real period there. God values humanity because he has put the worth on people. He's put the worth on people. Let's build the case here. Read the text on the screen with me if you would. I don't think you got time. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5. Before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. And before you came out of the womb, mama's belly, I sanctified you. I ordained thee a prophet in the nation. This is Jeremiah's biography. God knew him and God had decided what he wanted to be and had planned for his life. God gave purpose and value to him even when he was what? When he was still living rent free inside of his mama, as my wife used to say to both our children. Had purpose and value here. God put value. Psalm 139 verse 13, you've possessed my reins. You've covered me in my mother's womb. God said, I knew you there. I knew you there. Psalm 139 verse 16, your eyes did see my substance. Your eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect in all thy books are my members were written, which in continuous were fashioned when as yet there was none. You knew me before I discovered planet earth. God put value there. Job chapter 10, verse 8, your hands have made me and fashioned me together round about, yet you destroy me. Remember, I beseech thee, Job here saying, God, you knew me before I was even born, and now I feel like you're letting all this stuff happen to me. Remember, I beseech you, you made me as the clay. Will you bring me to dust again? You've not poured me out. Have you not poured me out and curdled me like cheese? You've clothed me with skin and flesh, fenced me with bones and sinews. You've granted me life and favor, and your visitation has preserved my spirit. God, you made me. All this stuff is coming to me, but I know that you love me and that you value me, Job laments. You have worth because of what you do, but because of how you're created. You're created in what? In the image of God. In the image of God. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Let him have dominion of the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, the cattle of the earth, and the creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. Isaiah chapter 44, look at verse number 2. Thou said the Lord to me, inform me from the womb, which will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob, your servant, and thou just your own whom I have chosen. God said, what? I am the one. Life is a gift from God. You have value because God made you. Let me help you. Let me help you this morning. When we allow people to teach worldview that says you are accidents, created from nothing, by nothing, with nothing to look forward to or to live, and the best you can do is, best you can hope for is to be a better animal. Be a better animal. That is contrary to what the Bible says. Life has value because God created you. God created you. We gotta make a radical adjustment in how we look at people. First 6 months, we were down, this may help me here, we worked under the bridge two or three times, maybe twice, three times, then policemen came and said, please quit doing that. We were apparently interfering with them trying to prosecute sex trafficking, so we quit doing under the bridge, and went inside to Carmen. If I said myself one time, I said it 100 times. That guy's made in the image and likeness of God. That guy's made in the image and likeness of God. That guy's made in the image and likeness of God. Made in the image and likeness of God. I didn't say it out loud. I said it in my head. Because I didn't want to be down there and work down there and serve down there and go, I'm glad I left all those people. Go back to my comfort. But God loves me just like he loves them. And they have value because they're made in the image and the likeness of God. You have value. you are loved. Job 31, verse 15. Did not he that made me in the womb make him and did not fashion us in the womb? Let me remind you, because God says so, you have dignity and you have worth. You have dignity and you have worth. See, I've made terrible choices in my life. Let me help you have dignity and you have worth because God says so. Say, I have an uncontrollable temper or give the worst speeches at the wrong times. You have dignity and you have worth. I'm not saying you're good. There's none good, no, not one. Don't get those two confused. But you have dignity and worth because you're made in the image and likeness of God, because He loved you, because He values you, because He sent His Son to die for you, because He's the one who created you. And life has value and meaning. You have dignity and worth because God says so. Because God says so. You have dignity and you have worth. When a lady gets up or a man gets up and says it's just a bunch of blob of tissue and a fetus, and they use those obfuscatory words, let me remind you. God said, I knew you when you were living rent-free in your mama's belly. I knew you before then. You have dignity and you have worth. Say, preacher, all right, so far so good, I'm with you. God loves people, that didn't seem too controversial. God values people, that didn't seem too controversial. Here we go. God sets boundaries. God sets boundaries. God sets boundaries for men. Now, everybody's real excited about this one, right? God sets boundaries. What are those boundaries? Let me walk you out of it. Number one, God says what's acceptable and what's not. God says what's acceptable and what's not. Not the preacher, not you, not me. God says what's acceptable and what's not. Somebody say amen to that. Amen. God says what's acceptable. Ten commandments still apply thousands of years later. Thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not murder. You shall not murder. Murder. Scripture doubles down on, by the way. Scripture talks about taking the life of the innocent, not protecting and standing up for the innocent. God says what is acceptable. God, and what is not. Murder is wrong. Say, I ain't following you so far. Read those three words. Murder is wrong. Murder is wrong. See, what's the murder? 59 million of them. 59 million of them. Lady stood up and said, man, I believe in women's rights. You understand how many little girls are murdered in mama's belly? What about their rights? What about their life? They're racist and punishing. You know how many black men have been murdered in mama's belly? You want to talk about racism? Talk about foisting this on so many what we call minorities. Murder's wrong. Murder's wrong. God sets the boundaries. Murder's wrong. Hatred is wrong. Hatred is wrong. When you look at the last of the six commandments, when you see those things, you understand that God has set boundaries for humanity. Boundaries for man. Let me offer you a few ways that I think you can get involved. And it'll help the situation here. Number one, politics, and this is just Rodney talking here. Politics is always iffy. Always iffy. Blah, 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 blah. Politics is always iffy. Whenever we have our folks here and we honor them and give them a little gift and all and pray for them and all, I always tell Andre I need to wash my hands twice. And, politics iffy. But if we can't avoid the entanglement, so be it. Because murder's wrong. And God values people. And God loves people. And if we can't avoid the politics, so be it. We'll do our very best and hold our nose. But man, we're in it. We're in it. Now, again, some of you, that doesn't make any sense why I even say that. But for the 30 and under crowd, you're tired, desperately tired of politics. I get it. I understand it. I appreciate it. But this is one of those deals where it doesn't make any difference. Man, the moral issue, the biblical issue supersedes the other, and we just go forward. Just go forward. Number two, I want you, in under application, number two, I want you to remember, killing children is murder. It's just murder. Inside or outside of a mama's body. Let me give you a pastor timeout. You still with me? Say amen. Let me pastor timeout. Look right here. If somebody somewhere told you it doesn't matter, you're going to ruin your life, and the child won't be loved and won't be taken care of. And some maybe even well-meaning person steered you a different direction. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. But the same God who created you and who loves you and who loved your baby loves you right now. And there's no sin so dark, no mess up so bad that the loving Father cannot forgive you. And there is hope and there is healing. And I hate that ever crossed your way. And if you were one of those people who well-meaningly convinced somebody to do something that they shouldn't have done, there's hope and healing for you too. Because guilt's not God's idea. Guilt brings us to the cross where we can be forgiven. Say, preacher, that's so strong. Say, killing it. There's no other word for it. There's no other word for it. Number three, devaluing life because of class or color is wicked. Devaluing life because of class or color is wicked. We'll get real personal real fast. One of the reasons Brother Glaspie wanted to come here and serve, because he knew I'd never bat an eye. I'd never bat an eye at the fact that he wears glasses. You went a different place, didn't you? God help us. Some people would have batted an eye because he wears glasses. That's wicked. Revelation chapter 3. And I beheld in every kindred and every nation and every tribe and every tongue. They all did what? They all sang, hallelujah, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. We are hypocrites to send dollars overseas and not say certain people are welcome in our congregations. God help us. Say they're just poor. You're missing the point. Poor people don't need to keep having those babies. Poor people need to give their heart and life to Jesus, let him transform their life. Don't go murder a baby because you're worried about how it affects the federal budget. He done gone into politics. No, I done gone and told the truth. We got to be involved. I'm done. We got to be involved. Rescuing children. I've told the area groups. I've sent me all your stuff. Let me know when your meetings are. We've talked. We've prayed. God, if you want us to foster, and no sense of kids sitting in the institution years at a time, we got rooms that are empty. We got to take the stigma out of some of this stuff. God help us. We got to be involved. By the way, some of you in here have led the way, whether it's with children or grandchildren. You have done your very best to make sure that they are loved and they are provided for. And even when it was not your responsibility, and we honor you for what you have done and what you are doing, then remember, life is precious. Life is precious. Life is precious. Why? Because God said it is precious. All lives are precious. Rent free in mama's belly. Or 99 and 11 months years old. I stood in front of the casket. Pastor Thurman Pate, 70-year pastor. Till he was too sick to know where he was, talking to his hospice and hospital workers about King Jesus. His life was precious at 99, 11 months. And your life's precious. And my life is precious. And those lives are precious. This is all politics. It's unfortunate. It's political. But it isn't politics. It's Bible. We stand for what's right. We do what's right. And we support what's right. And we support those who stand for what's right. We choose life. We choose life. In Knox County, I've watched it for 4 years. When there is a murder, homicide, two homicides, God forbid, it leads the news. It's in the papers. We even have expressions for it. If they don't succeed, we call it attempted homicide, attempted murder. One or two a week, one or two a month, fairly normal. Sad, it's terrible. Young man is here illegally, took the life of the fire department chief, son, front and center, national news, vehicular homicide. Every 46 seconds, the last 46 years. Every life is precious. And we speak up if no one else does. And we stand if no one else does. And we help if no one else does. Because we've gotten really used to what we should never have gotten used to. Would you pray with me right now? As we bow our heads to pray, those who are being baptized today can be excused and get changed, whatever they need to do. When they're done, they can come back in.